RadioInfluence.com.
Flavor, please tell your neighbors. Ian Beckles with flavor in your ear. Wake up, sports, music, and fashion. Best of podcasting. What's going on now and what's soon to happen? Be sure to stick around, no fast forward or skipping. Dropping jewels, you don't want to miss them. Make sure you listen. Ian Beckles with the flavor in your ear. The voice of the people's here.
Hello, everybody. This is Ian Beckles, and welcome back to Flavor in Your Ear. It's been a long, busy type week for me. A lot on my plate now that I'm back on the radio bright early in the morning from 5 to 6 on 102.5 The Bone. You know, I got to get up now. I'm on the air every day, which is good. I'm getting everything out, but makes the day kind of hectic. I got a few things going on today, and today being Thursday, we do tape this on Thursday. I have the Great American Teach-In. I have a couple of them that I'm doing, actually. And one of them is going to be at Coleman Middle School. And if you've seen this big scandal going on at Coleman, you know, all my kids went to Dale Mabry Elementary, then they went to Coleman Middle School, and then they went to Plant after that. So, I mean, I've been exposed to that whole, you know, system. And the principal for Coleman ended up getting arrested for child abuse. From the story, I guess some boy at school was acting a fool towards his son. Make a long story short, I mean, I guess him and his wife put their hands on this kid. I mean, punched the kid in the ribs. And this is a story that I read. Punched the kid in the ribs, and, you know, the kid complained. But then they found text messages of the coach saying, you know, if you say anything, you're going to be in trouble, and you're going to get worse than your ribs kicked in. And I'm like, yeesh. So I'm going to be speaking to Coleman today, so I'll see the vibe of the school when I roll through there. But it's something I always enjoy doing. I did it more when my kids were in school, but my kids are out of school, and I'm still finding myself speaking to two different schools today. So that should be enjoyable. Something that's not enjoyable is this young man that's going around shooting people in Seminole Heights. You know, if you look at Seminole Heights, the people there are frantic. And they're terrified. You know, we should all be terrified. We live in Tampa, because I live in South Tampa, and Seminole Heights ain't that damn far from South Tampa. So if this young man could figure out a way to get out of there, and, you know, I've seen different videos of Seminole Heights, and there literally is a cop on every street turning every minute. Like, I've never seen that many damn cops anywhere equipped with guns and bicycles, getting ready for a chase. They have a pretty good videotape of this guy walking. And from the videotape that I saw, somebody's going to catch him soon. If that's the videotape, if that's him, he'll be caught soon because, you know, whether we know it or not, everybody has kind of distinctive walks. And you can see the guy's stride. And somebody's going to say, hey, that's so-and-so. I mean, I've always said if I was a serial killer, I probably wouldn't last a couple minutes. I'm going to be recognized real, real quick. Like, I couldn't imagine that being a video of me walking and putting it on Crime Stoppers. I think right away there'd be 1,000 calls trying to get that money. And speaking of money, they have $91,000 is up. If anybody can lead to this clown that's killing everybody over there at Seminole Heights. I mean, the money's good. I think it's going to bring some bounty hunters in here. It's a big enough, you know, chunk of money to bring some people in from outside. Hopefully will help. But to me, if you know who it is, it shouldn't matter if it's 10,000 or 90,000 or a million. You got to put somebody in. You got to turn them in. I had this discussion on the air today, and somebody said, what if one of your good friends is the murderer? I said, that's one situation that you're going to get turned in. If you're killing people, I don't care. We're good friends. I don't care if somebody in your family is killing people, you have to turn them in. That's it. I'm no snitch. But it ain't snitching if somebody's killing somebody or abusing somebody. So let's hope to God they catch this guy. I guess he's 6 foot to 6 foot two, light skin, a black male. And I don't think they have a whole lot more than that. One time he had a black hoodie, another time he has a white hoodie. So let's hope to God this guy gets caught real, real soon. He's obviously good at evading. Seminole Heights is not the biggest place in the world. And if you're light-skinned right now in Seminole Heights, forget about racial profiling. You're going to get pulled over. And it's been four people dead to this point. And, you know, everybody's frantic. I couldn't imagine having a business in Seminole Heights because, you know, I know Ichikoro's over there. I know the Blind Tiger Cafe's over there. I've been there a few times. But if I needed to go, you know, to get a coffee right now, why the hell would I go to Seminole Heights? Nobody's coming. Nobody's going. I mean, people live in Seminole Heights, obviously. I bet they can't wait to get out of Seminole Heights. If you're going to go for dinner, why would you do it in Seminole Heights? No way. It seems like this guy's preying on, you know, people at bus stops. And I know there was an autistic person. So whoever this dude is, he's sick. And let's hope the hell we can get this guy caught here real quick, because it's four right now. And if it gets to six, I'm not sure what's going to happen. They might have to evacuate the whole Tampa area because people are, you know, it's rough right now everywhere. And I know Bob Buckhorn's doing what he can to, you know, catch this guy, but it's got to be frustrating. I can hear the frustration in a lot of their voices. So let's hope that gets taken care of real, real quick. Now, with all these stories going on, you know, I don't know, Harvey Weinstein, when it's all over, Harvey Weinstein, you know, he may affect, you know, the cultures of so many different entities and organizations, because everybody's getting outed now. People were touching boys, people were touching girls, actors, anybody. It seems to be scumbags with money, you know? And, you know, there's a lot of people surfacing, and unfortunately for them, everybody's getting lumped into one group because it's a bunch of perverts at one time. But I think the perversions are all different. You know, Bill Cosby might have started the whole thing off. You know, anybody but Bill Cosby, you would have thought back in the day. I mean, Bill Cosby's not a pervert. Anybody but Bill Cosby. And then, you know, Harvey Weinstein came about. Harvey Weinstein to me is the worst one. He's the worst one. Bill Cosby's pretty bad too. But I think Bill Cosby used his fame, and it wasn't a violent thing. Harvey Weinstein stuff seems violent almost. Bill Cosby's a pig too. But when you're seeing all these names surface and they're all getting bunched together, Louis C.K., who's the first person to say, yeah, I did it, by the way, and I'm sorry, I probably shouldn't have. His are a little bit different. Drugging women and sleeping with them when they don't know about it is a lot different than asking a woman to come in your room and watch you masturbate. Is it deviant? Yes, both of them are. One of them is illegal, and the other one's just kind of unethical. I mean, it's not illegal for you to be in a bar and say, hey, young lady, would you want to come to my room and watch me masturbate? That's not illegal. But drugging a woman and having sex with her definitely is. Now, I know that Jeremy Piven's name came up. For anything I've ever heard about Jeremy Piven's was how much he parties and how much drugs are around him. So that's going to be a funky situation. Charlie Sheen's name came up, which is, I don't know why anybody would be shocked about anything with Charlie Sheen. There's a few people that I just don't understand why anybody would still like them at all. And I think Charlie Sheen is one of them. Like, I just don't, there's nothing about Charlie Sheen that is, you know, appealing to me. And read the stuff his wife wrote about him pulling up kiddie porn, boys and girls, and, you know, about his sexuality. He's just hiding everything. So that name definitely didn't shock me. But the one that probably pisses me off the most right now is this Roy Moore guy. You know, the senator that's up for election. First of all, it's like, how do we not have anybody better than these old scumbaggy guys? They're old, greasy, scumbaggy dudes. And those are the guys we have to vote. And you know what? Some people are saying because of all the scandal, he may win because of the scandal. And when you read some of the things, like, he's banned, he was banned from the mall for bothering teenage girls. Vote in anybody else. I swear to God, anybody else but that guy. Like, they interviewed some girls at the mall, and some girls at the mall used to say, oh no, Roy is here. And he used to ruin, like, the vibe of the mall because he was going around molesting little girls. You've got to be kidding me. Like, I don't care how established or high up you are, that guy needs to be hanging on by the escalator by his nuts. And for us to be sitting here and still talking about, you know, voting this guy in, these are the people that are making the decisions in our world. Guys like Roy Moore. These guys are pigs, and they've been pigs for a long time. And Harvey Weinstein, I think when he came out, that it changed a lot of things because people were like, man, this is really happening a lot. And we realized when, and there's, I think people are also piling on a little bit because it's real easy to accuse somebody right now and people automatically believe that they're guilty. That's real easy to do. So there's a lot of accusations going on. I'm not saying anybody's lying, but we have to watch when somebody just puts up a sign that we don't go attack, you know, somebody else that we haven't seen any sort of evidence. Elizabeth Perkins is an actress, and she had a sign that said, James Wood, hashtag Me Too. You know, not saying James Wood didn't do anything, but that's almost not fair. With no evidence, no explanation, none of that, people are going to go, and they're going to go at James Wood, and that's almost unfair. So there's a lot of that going on right now and a lot of things being surfaced, and I don't know if that's going to stop. What I hope that stops is I hope that these old pigs stop, you know, flexing their muscles on some young people, boys and girls, and young people. Because I believe it's happening even more so because listening to some shows on The Bone, listening to Drew Garabo's show, people are calling in and all these women are calling in and saying, listen, this is a man's world and there's nothing we could do about it. And that's just the way it is. I think that's gross. I think it's gross. I see it a little bit. I'm around it a little bit. I don't like to be around it a lot, but it's out there. But I think there's some, you know, walks of life around here that I think it just, that's just the way it is. And it's very, very unfortunate. Another unfortunate thing was, you know, those UCLA basketball players that got caught shoplifting in China. Now, they were detained and didn't fly home. You're at UCLA. One of them is Lonzo Ball's brother, D'Angelo Hall, has money. I mean, got a great life, obviously. It just looks bad on all angles for me when we talk about climate and culture, with the climate of culture right now of what black and white relations, that three privileged, we use that word privilege usually for white people, three privileged black men go to China and steal stuff that they don't even really need. It looks bad for Americans. It looks bad for the perception of Americans in China. They don't think much of us, and they shouldn't. And we have to have the president over there bailing out, you know, three privileged kids, black kids, which makes it worse for me. It just looks bad from everybody out there. It looks really bad. And, you know, President Trump did a good thing and got them out of there. But then he had to soil it because he's a soiler. Twitter is just, he just slinging doo-doo. That's all he does. There's nothing, and I read a lot of his tweets, and I'm just waiting for something that's going to make me smile or say, okay, there's some humility or he's a little bit humble. So you went and you orchestrated getting these kids back. Just about to clap, and then he sits his tweet out. Do you think the three UCLA basketball players will say thank you to President Donald Trump. They were headed for 10 years in jail. Now, instead of saying, went to China and took care of our American kids, brought them home safely. I would say, write that, Donald. Don't put your name in it in full. Okay? Nobody wants to read that. And you're almost pressuring the kids and saying thank you. It takes away from the feel of it, doesn't it? Because, you know, do you think the three UCLA basketball players will say thank you to Donald Trump? You wrote that yourself? I just, you know, the mindset's really, really, it's funky and weird for me. I thought Dennis Rodman was going to go do it personally. I thought he was the best man for it, but I'm happy to see that that Donald Trump took care of the whole darn thing. But it was a disgusting look. It really was. And I don't think those three men had any idea of what they were getting into when they tried to steal, I think it was a purse or something stupid like that. When they got back to L.A. at that airport, there was 1,000 cameras and paparazzi at that airport. 1,000. Other than D'Angelo Ball, whose parents are everywhere and they try to be in front of every camera, those other kids were probably just normal, just good recruits. Now you come out and there's 1,000 people taking pictures of you. All I think about, and I usually do think this way, boy, the parents, man. Parents are going through some stuff because your kid went from the kid that got out and did good and went to UCLA and he's playing at UCLA, it's great, to your kid's a criminal. When you think about it, they're not criminals. They're just young, stupid kids. You were young. You were stupid. When you were young, when you were 19 years old, I promise you could tell me something you did was a lot stupider than that. That was ignorant. But we all did stupid things. I did stupid things too. But it didn't get magnified like those, you know, three kids there at UCLA. I promise you it taught them a lesson. If that doesn't teach you a lesson, I don't know what's going to. Because like I said, they had no idea what they were, you know, about to put themselves through. But that was tough sledding for those kids. You know, some of the other things that were happening that I saw, Puerto Rico, you know, Puerto Rico is still in trouble. And it's almost like we forgot, like we're like, okay, Puerto Rico is going to be fine now. I mean, they've had, I think they said 82% of the households are still out of power. They've had power surges and power failures still, and they're hurting. Puerto Rico, they're asking for, and the number is $94 billion in additional aid. Where does this money come from? So let's say the United States gives them $50 billion. Because I don't know, countries give other countries money. And countries make money. I don't understand why you just don't make money. But if the United States gives, you know, Puerto Rico $50 billion, I thought we were trillions of dollars in debt. Where are we getting the money from? $94 billion, that's a lot of money, isn't it? Isn't it more the labor than the actual money? I think you think somebody's actually going to deliver $94 billion? I just don't understand how that stuff happens. And that's why I don't understand what politics is about. When you're talking about $94 billion, that's not a real number. Our deficit in the trillions, that's not a real number. It doesn't really exist. We just owe China some favors. We don't owe them real money. We're not going to give them real money. But Puerto Rico asking for $94 billion is just asking for help from other countries. Nobody's going to stroke them a big fat check. That's not going to happen. So, I mean, I'm still hoping that things get better. But when this is all said and done, if there's 82% of the households that still don't have electricity and there's still surges and things are still going down, I'm not sure Puerto Rico is even going to really exist here in a couple of years. I'm not sure people are just going to flee from that. So I hope the best for everybody over there in Puerto Rico still. Now, my favorite, one of my favorite shows on television is Desus and Mero, which is on Viceland. And they had a story about this young man, I say that loosely. He was a Caucasian man, and he complained. He says now he's Filipino. Okay, so you could be straight, and then you say you're gay. I get that. One day he was white, and the next day he says he's Filipino. He went from the name Adam to Jaju. All right. Now, they have to have a term for that now. It's called transracial. We have enough terms. Let's stop making up terms for lunatics. This guy, once again, very Caucasian, pink hair. He's riding around the streets of New York in a rickshaw. Now, there's other Filipino people in New York, right? And they're not riding around in rickshaws. So you're just an asshole, okay? You don't need a whole genre transracial. It's too much now. We're giving people too many choices. You're born white or you're born black. That's how you're going to stay. Sorry, you can't be Filipino. You ain't Manny Pacquiao. And for those of you that think that Manny Pacquiao is the most popular Filipino athlete of all times, you're wrong. And I'm going to make you wrong right now. The most popular Filipino athlete of all time is Tim Tebow, who was born in the Philippines. Go look it up. The great Tim Tebow, by the way. You have to say the great. Now, Thanksgiving's right around the corner. I cook a lot. I cook all the time. I'm finding myself cooking for large groups, too. On Friday, I'm doing an event at Trinity Cafe. It's over there downtown, just off 275. They feed a whole lot of people. They're having a special event this whole weekend. And Friday is my day where I got my hands full and I have to MC the event. I got to DJ the event. I'm also cooking for the event as well. So I have about 12 lamb roasts that I've been cooking all week. And I got to get that done towards the end of the week. Thanksgiving is next week, so I'm sure I'll be doing a lot of cooking there as well. And on Saturday, I'm doing my show Flavor, which I do with Ray Lampe, and we're going to be doing it at the Backyard Company over there on Adamo, which is not too far from South Tampa. Ray is going to be cooking a turkey. He's going to be smoking a turkey on the big green egg, and I don't know if anybody could do it better than Ray. I mean, that's his thing. And I was told I have to do the sides. And I messed with one this week that turned out very well. It was a Brussels sprouts and mushrooms in a mushroom soup sauce with some almonds and some cheese. And it's a nice casserole-y thing. And it turned out very well. So that's what I got going on. You can come hang out on Saturday. We'll be over there at the Backyard Company. And the first 20 people are going to get a Publix gift certificate. And we'll also be giving away, I think, some kind of a Yeti cooler, which is a big deal. I don't know exactly which one it is, but it's a really cool Yeti-type cooler. Now, other things that happened this week. Colin Kaepernick. I told you guys and girls that when this is all over, Colin Kaepernick's going to be a rock star. I told you. Citizen of the Year from GQ, Colin Kaepernick. Right away, I'm seeing memes of, you know, a lot of different people that could have deserved it, all right? And you can go down a list of people that, you know, probably should have gotten that. I get it. The only thing is, it's not as controversial as Colin Kaepernick. Boy, when you have a magazine, nothing's better than controversy on front of your magazine. Everybody, every newscast, every show showed that cover of Colin Kaepernick and his big old afro. Everybody. Should J.J. Watt win Citizen of the Year? Sure. Is it going to be a big deal? Not like this. GQ is going to sell so many magazines, and it's going to be talking about it forever. When was the last time we talked about a GQ cover? I don't remember, ever. So GQ was brilliant. Somebody probably was in a meeting and said, who's a Citizen of the Year? And somebody probably said J.J. Watt. They could have said Oprah. They could have said a bunch of people. Ellen did some good things. A lot of people did good things. What about Colin Kaepernick? And I bet right off the bat, everybody says, are you nuts? And by the end of that conversation, they're like, this is the most brilliant thing ever. Kind of like the Mayweather and McGregor fight. When at first it was like, this is the stupidest thing. By the end, I go, this is the best thing ever put together. At the beginning, it was the dumbest thing ever. By the end, I go, this is just, whoever thought about it, Dana White, this is absolutely brilliant. So, Colin Kaepernick, Citizen of the Year from GQ. I don't have a problem with it. A lot of people do. It's their choice, so you can't really bitch and moan about their choice. Whether you like it or not, that's up to you. But if you had a magazine, then you don't pick them. But they picked them. It's getting to a point now where Colin Kaepernick is starting to think, and I start to think myself, that he's never going to play in the NFL again, regardless. And then I hear people say, well, if he doesn't play in the NFL, he should go play in the CFL. What is wrong with you? The CFL is going to pay him $150,000. Colin Kaepernick can go speak right now and make $150,000. He made, I think, $18 million in his last contract. He's going to pay for $150,000? Listen up closely. Colin Kaepernick is the first athlete, football player, to be of able body and mind on the streets and not playing. There's guys that slayed people. There's people that have killed people that got back in the NFL. He knelt, and he can't get back in. He's the only one ever. And people, he's not that good. Well, he's definitely good enough to be in the NFL. That's for sure. Because last week I saw Josh McCown play against Fitzpatrick. Definitely good enough to play in the NFL. On every team, he's at least good enough to be backup on every single NFL team. So, but when this is over, when Colin Kaepernick's agent finally says, we ain't going to make it back in the league, then you're going to see Colin Kaepernick. You're going to see a lot of him. I'm gonna tell you this before it's all over, and remember, you heard it here first. There will be a Colin Kaepernick show, guaranteed. He's gonna make money. I'm telling you, he's gonna be on every talk show right away. You don't think Oprah wants to talk to Colin Kaepernick? Who doesn't? Who's not gonna want to talk to Colin Kaepernick? Everybody is, and he's gonna be the rock star, whether you hate him or not. I know a lot of people hated him. I mean, they hated him right out of the league, but Watch who wins, because, you know, to me, it's a lot of hate going towards somebody who's been nothing but peaceful. Nothing. I mean, yes, the one thing people say, I don't like the fact that he wore the pig socks. I wouldn't wear pig socks. But you know what? I haven't been in any situations, not many, where I would call a policeman a pig a lot. But some people have. We've seen the movies and we've seen the videos. And if I've been through that, then I'm allowed to wear socks with pigs on them if the cops act like pigs. That's an if. So we don't know where he came from. We don't know what he's been through. So it's really, really easy, you know, to judge somebody. And we don't know anything about, you know, of their upbringing. So Colin Kaepernick, that's it, man. Colin Kaepernick, GQ, Man of the Year, and any minute now you're going to start seeing a whole lot of Colin Kaepernick, because it's getting towards the end of the football season. And once this football season is over, I don't think he's coming back in. I just don't. It's because now he's a year older. Nobody really sits a year out of the NFL and then comes back and really shines. Not many. Once you sit out 1 year, it becomes real, real hard to deal with that afterwards. So once again, in 2018 may end up being, you know, the year of Kaepernick. Now, other things that are going on, I was sitting here watching Outside the Lines, I believe it was, and they were talking about the NCAA and the one and done. Let's eliminate that. Let's eliminate the one and done thing, because all we do is complain about the schools that do it. Kentucky, everybody complains about that. Let's eliminate it. Because first of all, what's more un-American than that? What other occupation you can't come out of high school and do it. If you're great at computers and Bill Gates comes out of high school, goes, I want to hire you, is he going to say you have to go to 1 year of school and not care about scholastics? Because that's what happens. If you're so good that you go to Kentucky and you know the next year you're going to be in the NBA, how much studying do you think you're going to do? I'm going to tell you how much I'm going to do. None. Because you know what? It doesn't make sense. The American way is to make money, right? So if playing basketball is the way I'm going to make money, the smart thing would do is go dribble a basketball. Forget about the books. The books are always going to be there. Like, I'm a guy that came back and I graduated from Indiana after I started my rookie year. I believe in school. I got through it, and I promised my mother I was going to graduate, and I graduated. But if I'm going to play 1 year in basketball and be out, what the hell am I working towards? Now, somebody will say, what if he gets hurt? Well, this is what's going to happen. He's going to take out an insurance policy for $20 million. If he gets hurt, he gets the $20 million. Then he'll go to school. There you go. But not many people are in a situation where they can come out of high school and take care of their family. And the unfortunate part is that they're all black. So it doesn't matter where they're coming from. You're taking a young black man who has a chance to take care of his family for maybe the rest of their lives, and you're not letting him do it. That's the only, there's nothing, it doesn't make sense anymore. Stop it. It's not good for anybody. It's not good for basketball. Do I think they're going to be more successful when they go into the NBA younger? Not necessarily, but they have the right to go make money, though. They have the right to go make money and not waste their time playing college basketball, because that's what they do. And when you see all these coaches who are, these coaches are becoming scumbags too. And when you're looking at coaches trying to get recruits, you know, their livelihood has to do with them winning. So you can't expect them not to cheat. Because you know what happens when they cheat and they get caught? They go to another school. I mean, that's been proven. The coaches are making so much money off the shoes and the camps, and the players can't go make the money. It's one-sided, and it's disgusting. And a lot of these athletes are coming from nothing. They're coming from nothing. They're coming from nothing, and you're making them go to school with nothing. They're not giving them any money. They're not giving them any benefits. And they got to be in school. When they're worth millions of dollars, they got to go to school for a year and be poor. That's un-American too. Think about that for a second. You know, you're a kid that comes out of from nowhere, and you got to go back home to nothing, and you're worth millions of dollars. You're making, for 1 year, making millions and millions of dollars for your school, and you got to wait a year to make your millions of dollars, and you could blow your knee out and make zero. Come on now. It's getting to a point now that's getting silly. Change the rules. I haven't heard anybody thinks that rule should stick around. Nobody. Un-American. And it looks bad. And you're allowing the system to get over people who need. And the system definitely doesn't need. And all these coaches that are cheating, and they keep on cheating, and they won't stop cheating, they keep on making money after loads of money and after loads of money. And they don't really ever get reprimanded. They really don't. They'll get caught. They'll get a buyout. They'll make millions of dollars. They'll wait a year, and they'll go play, and they'll be coaching at another school. So that's how tough it gets, unfortunately, for the coaches. But for the players, it's enough. It's enough now. Now, if you want to email me, I have another podcast as well, In the Trenches, that we do on Monday after the Bucks game. And we had Victory Monday this week after the Bucks win against the Jets. If you want to email me, you can email me at Ian Beckles at radioinfluence.com. So if you want to email me any questions, so I have a couple people that emailed me here. Eric had a couple questions, and one of them was, and it's a long question, so I'm just going to kind of paraphrase it. He said, basically, you can put money down that the Bucks are going to run the ball on first down. Let me get a lineman's point of view about them running every first down. Now, it may appear that way because of the lack of production. You know, they pass on first downs too. Every team has tendencies. So if they ran on every first down, there'd be 10 people in the box, and that's the way it is. They don't run on every first down. It just seems that way because they're so unproductive running the ball on first down. The Bucs are just an unproductive running football team. Doug Martin, who I find very average and very overrated, he hasn't done anything special really in 2 years to me. I mean, look at his statistics. He averaged 3.5 yards a carry. That's in 2 years. That's not enough. Last year, he carried the ball 150 times, and his longest run was 17 yards. That's not good enough. Not for me, anyways. And this year, he just looks average, not breaking a whole lot of tackles. If you're a great running football team, you'll run the football regardless. And our problem is, whether it's Jameis or whether it's Fitzpatrick, we're not scaring anybody with our passing game, so they can just put 8 guys in a box. There was a couple teams that we played that challenged us badly on the outsides, and we don't have enough confidence in our throwing game or our passing game to go out there and try to torch anybody, because there's a lot of teams coming out in that first couple drives with one safety deep and the other safety sitting in the box and saying, you can't throw the ball on us. So it's just, to me, you know, the lack of big play ability that the Bucs haven't, they haven't done anything really. They really haven't. They haven't, big play wise, there hasn't been a lot of big plays this year. And there's been a lot left on the field. And we have 2 big play receivers. You know, O.J. Howard was supposed to be a big play guy. It's not really happening that way. But sometimes it's perception, because you think we've been down in a lot of games too. So when you're down in a lot of games, you can't run the ball on first down. And we've been down in a whole lot of football games this year. And the other question was, basically at the end of the game, when everybody plays prevent defense, and everybody says prevent defense prevents you from winning, I kind of understand that statement, because there's times where I see a defense play balls out all game long, and it's the end of the game, and there's one more drive to go, and all of a sudden they drop with the guys real deep. Great teams don't do that. You know, teams that have great defenses, watch. They'll just stay right in character. We don't have a great defense. We don't. Even last week, you can't let a team drive down the field in the last drive, regardless if you won the game or not. I mean, you gotta win the football game there and finish the game. Offensively and defensively, the Buccaneers had a chance to end the game offensively with the ball, and they failed. And they had a chance to end the game defensively, and they failed at that as well. So they won the game, which was great. But there was a lot of things that happened in that game that weren't that pretty. Go back to some old Buccaneer film. When you're playing the old Bucs back in the day, and you know you're down by 4 points, and you're on a 20-yard line, you got 80 yards to go, you lose. You are not driving the ball 80 yards on the Bucs. You know why? The 4 guys up front. And that's the answer. The answer is, you can't play normal defense when you have 4 average guys up front. That's what we have. Last week looked great. I'm talking about a big body of work, and now there's 9 games. That's a big body of work. And up front, we don't have beasts. We don't have guys getting to the quarterback on a consistent basis. So if you can get to the quarterback on a consistent basis, you know, you can basically do whatever the hell you want to do. So, you know, that's your answer with that. Now, I normally have a bunch of Donald Trump stuff, but, you know, he's been in China, so he's been laying a little bit low. So I have to jump on somebody else. Everybody remember Marion Jones. Marion Jones, the sprinter, American star, gold medalist in the Olympics. Marion Jones standing on the podium with her hand in the air, won the gold medal, won a few gold medals. Beautiful, just a beautiful young lady. Marion Jones went to jail for lying under oath that she took performance-enhancing drugs. Okay, you can look that up. She went to jail. All right, because she lied for taking performance-enhancing drugs to win an Olympic medal. Now, we've watched other movies, right? In Russia, they give their athletes drugs. I know they do. We have to know that when you're watching the sprinting, in the Olympics, everybody with their hand or foot on the line is taking a performance-enhancing drug. I'm not asking you. I'm telling you. You can't get to that level without taking a performance-enhancing drug. It hasn't happened in 40 years. Not that level. Impossible. Let me tell you the sports that I can tell you what's impossible. You can't run that fast without a performance enhancing drug. You can't do the Tour de France and go straight up a hill for 30 days without performance enhancing drugs. And you can't be a bodybuilder without performance enhancing drugs, period. And if you're a fan of the Tour de France and you don't think that every single person in that race is taking something, you're lying to yourself. They're all taking that EPO stuff, all of them. They're all taking something because go and watch the Lance Armstrong documentaries. He's telling you, if he said, if you don't, you can't make it and you can't be on our team. He said it. That's 10 years ago. So you think now the evolution is they're getting faster and they're going to stop taking stuff? Come on, no way. If you're in bodybuilding and you're in the level of Olympia and most of the levels below that, and you think you're going to stand on a stage and win, I know you're not going to be standing beside Ronnie Coleman or Lee Haney or Arnold Schwarzenegger or Jay Cutler or none of those guys because you'll get dwarfed. Nobody is that physically gifted. Nobody. Marion Jones was on the line. She got caught, okay? Then she got caught lying under oath, which is what a lot of people do. We know it. You know why I know it? Because just last week or this week, I watched Jeff Sessions, that squirrely little guy. That's a squirrely little dude. I watched him put his right hand up and lie a lot. He didn't say a lot of things as well. But he said, I don't recall 12 times. He said something similar to I don't recall another 20 times. And if somebody says, do you remember the meeting with this? Do you remember the meeting, you know, with this Russian diplomat? And you say, I forgot about the meeting. I don't recall. Then we have the wrong guy that's to say our attorney general. You have to admit, do you admit that? If he had a meeting with a high-ranking Russian diplomat and you don't remember the meeting, you shouldn't be attorney general. We need somebody else, period. If you're not recalling this many things, then you're old and senile. Give it up to somebody who's younger. And he said, under oath, I have always told the truth concerning the Russian probe. That's a lie. Should he go to jail? We put Marion Jones in jail. Who did Marion Jones affect? Who was affected? This guy is covering up a Russian scandal in front of everybody. And by the way, our president also said it was zero ties. He said zero ties to Russia. He said that a long time ago. He said it a lot. He says it a lot, actually. And seven people in the Trump camp now have been proven to have contact with the Russians. Seven. And all these guys said, we have no contact. Dude, y'all was breaking bread. Y'all was eating borscht. You were doing all that together for a long ass time. No doubt in my mind. It shouldn't be a doubt in anybody's mind. And these squirrely bastards are up there lying in our faces and everybody's laughing and they think it's funny. When he was up there and he was like, I don't recall. I don't remember. Get the hell out of here. And everybody behind him is kind of snickering. That shit ain't funny, man. We're allowing the most important people in our world to lie right in our faces. And if an athlete lies, they go to jail. How does that athlete affect this world? Those politicians are affecting the world, man. And we're sitting there letting these squirrely bastards lie. And you know what else we're letting them do? Run our world. Like we're talking about Harvey Weinstein's and all that. I'm putting Harvey Weinstein bunched up with all these scumbags, all these rich guys. And they're running our world. And it's bad. It's bad. And these are the guys making decisions, unfortunately. And I don't know if there's anything we can damn do about it. You know, they talk about who's going to run for president. I've heard Kid Rock is not running, which is the fact that we talked about Kid Rock running is sad. Like Kid Rock should remember. Actually, if we said let Kid Rock take over right now, I'll take Kid Rock. I would take Kid Rock. He said some intelligent things. I've heard his music. Some of his music has some intelligent stuff. The other guy said nothing intelligent. Oprah's name came up, The Rock, and my name has been Mark Cuban forever. Like, I want to see Mark Cuban run. I think that's somebody who proved to me he's done something other than just, you know, win and, you know, spend and lose and take back daddy's money, because it's kind of how the other dude did it, unfortunately. So it's been a long week. The week ain't over. I have some teach-ins today. I also have to go do a couple, you know, charitable things to do tomorrow. The Backyard Company on Saturday, and I'm going to the Lightning game tonight. They're playing the Dallas Stars, and at this moment, they're 14-2-2. I got some news for you guys. Your hockey team is pretty damn good. And your hockey team go down 2-0 and still come back and win that game. And they got pretty darn good goaltending as well. So if you're a Lightning fan and you don't know that by now, you know you do. It's Lightning season now. Since our Buccaneers stink out loud, it's Lightning season, and that's the best we got at this moment. So if you're missing out, shame on you. I'll be there at the arena tonight. It's been great talking to you guys. Remember, I have with my other podcast as well, In the Trenches. You can always go back and listen to it if you're a Buccaneer fan. That's on Radio Influence and iTunes and the whole nine yards. And this is Flavor in Your Ear. I appreciate you guys listening. The numbers have been very good. And we're going to continue to entertain you guys as we've been doing for the last little while. Everybody have a wonderful week, and please be safe. Peace out.
To keep the conversation going, follow Ian on Twitter at Ian Beckles and check out DignitaryRadio.com to get the latest on where you can find him next. This has been Ian Beckles, Flavor in Your Ear on Radio Influence.
Put the flavor in your ear, the voice of the people's here. It's in that flavor. Flavor. Bringing that flavor.
Chef Brian Duffy here. I've got a new show called Duffified Live that's unlike anything you've ever heard. Each week, I'm going to be talking to some of my friends, some people I've never even met before. We're going to be talking about people that I meet on the road through some of my experiences. We're talking about restaurants, talking about great stories, great guests, wild adventures, the whole nine yards. Get Duffified Live with me, Chef Brian Duffy, each week on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and RadioInfluence.com.